Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shkolim Yer Aleph. We're on the second line, actually at the last word. Amar Rabbi Chanina, referring back to our Mishnah, where we discuss something called the Kevesh Parah, the ramp constructed between Yerushalayim and Har HaZeisim, on which they would transport the Parah Aduma on its way to Har HaZeisim for Shechita. The point of the Kevesh was actually to insulate the Parah Aduma and all the individuals transporting the Parah to protect them from Tumah. So it was built, as the Mishnah says, Kippin al Gabi Kippin, semicircles, one on top of the other, in order to avoid any possible Tumas Oyel atop any mace which might actually be underneath, right under their route of travel. Therefore, they would make the kevesh to protect them. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chanina, shachtzis gdoila, hoysa b'vnei kohanim gdoilim. There was great shachtzis, great haughtiness, ga'ava, in these kohanim gdoilim families. In what way? They would spend more than 60 kikar, a huge amount, of zahav, which they would use to construct these ramps. And there was really no good purpose for this. They had ulterior motives here. Look, there was already a ramp standing from the last Parah Aduma, but they would refuse to use it. None of them would transport their Parah Aduma using the other one's ramp. No, he has to rebuild his own ramp. Rather, he would prefer to demolish the old one and rebuild anew, using his own funds to spread his name, fame, kavod, with great fanfare. This way the Parah Aduma will be called on his name, attributed to him. This was a great display of shachatz, of gav, of haughtiness. Heisev Rabbi Ula Kumi Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Ula asked Rabbi Mana, how could you contend that there was no good purpose here? V'atani, we learned in the Braisa, Shimon HaTzadik, Shtei Poris Asa. In the time of Shimon HaTzadik, there were many wars, and there was a great need for much Parah Aduma supply, because there were many Tmei Meis. So he actually took care of two Parah Adumas in his lifetime. Loi bekevesh shehoitzias zu, hoitzias zu. However, the kevesh, which he used for one Parah Aduma, he wouldn't use for the next one. He rebuilt the kevesh anew. Islach lemeimar, Shimon HaTzadik shachatzoya. Can you even suggest that Shimon HaTzadik was a man of haughtiness? If the point of unnecessarily rebuilding the ramp was merely a display of pomp and fanfare, why would he engage in this type of behavior? Maikadoin. So you must really say that there was a good purpose. Let's change our attitude here. There was a good tachlis. Why? Al shem ma'ala hibapara. Silsil hibapara. This is a duplicate lashon. It was a mala, it was a silsil, it added weight, it added significance and chashivus to the whole process of the Parah Aduma and ensure that it is kept from any tumah. Why is that? Explain the Mefarshim. We learn in the Mishnah in Parah that the chachamim would actually be metame, the individual who would eventually be involved in the Parah Aduma process. They would be matam him and send him to the mikvah and then allow him to engage in the parah. This was done k'dei lahoitzi miliban shel tzedukim, to undo, to negate the opinion of the tzedukim, who would insist that the pasuk requires the person to be completely tar, mikvah and he'erev shemesh, and nightfall. Chachamim disagreed. Only mikvah is required, and therefore they deliberately will matami the person, send him to the mikvah, and then have him engage in the Parah Aduma process. But to counterbalance that perhaps that impression that might be generated that, look, we can be callous and negligent when it comes to Tumah Paraduma. They wanted to reinforce the impression that, no, Paraduma is meant to be properly secured and safeguarded from all Tumah. Therefore, they applied many extra precautions to protect the para from even a possible tumor. One such example was this halacha, this practice where they would rebuild the kevesh anew, which would create a scene. Big news, they're creating a new ramp. Oh, what's the point of the ramp? To protect the paraduma from tumor. So this would highlight the importance of protecting the paraduma from any sort of tumor. So the purpose was actually noble. It was a good tachlis. It wasn't an expression of haughtiness. Tani, we learned in a braisa, zizin uksolim hayoytzin mikan mikan. There were ledges and walls, ramp, railings constructed on either side of the ramp. Kadesha lo yeitzu v'yatzitzu kahana v'itmu. So the kahana walking on top would not lean over and peek, perhaps become tami tumas oil by hovering over emes. Going back to our Mishnah, where Rabbi Shmuel tells us the extra funds were used to purchase supplies. They would engage in a business, a commercial venture, purchase supplies and provide the fellows seeking nisachim supplies. They would supply it for them. They would buy and sell and earn profits for Hegdish. Rabbi Kiva says, no. It's not appropriate. It's not the right thing to do, to take Hegdish money, take stucco money and invest it. You might lose the money. It's not worth it. Says the Gemara, even Rabbi Kiva would agree, if it's a no-risk venture, it's mutter. Elim Ratzah, if he chooses, yeah, I have such a life. He can invest provided he takes full accountability. He takes the entire loss. V'aschar l'hegdish. If there's any profits, he splits it with Hegdish. This way, Hegdish is guaranteed. Stucco money is guaranteed, and there's no concern. So this way, it's mutter. He can go ahead and invest this money. Kado Barzmina, as we have the story with this individual called Barzmina, is paked gabei. There was investment. It was deposited by him. Maidel de Yasmin, a bundle of merchandise belonging to Yisoyim, stucco money. Also v'shal l'Rabbi Mana. So he came to ask Rabbi Mana, can I invest it? Amarle, he said, in bus day, if you follow the following formula, which is hafsada didach, loss is completely on you, v'agra de tavrechon, and agra profit is split amongst both of you, shari, then you can go and proceed. Rabbi Chia bar Ada, he as well, is paket gabei, made al diyasmin, a bundle of merchandise belonging to Yisraelim were deposited by him. V'avit ken, he followed this example. He took upon himself the entire loss and agreed to split the profits. Now, of course, these individuals must have had some assets to back up their word. And this way, it was guaranteed to be a no-risk venture on account of the Hegdish and the Stucca. Now, the Korban Neda asks, what about ribbis? Because when you take full responsibility for something, it's as though you're taking a loan, which you have to repay. The fact that you're giving some profits in return, that's paying. That's in effect paying for the loan. That's ribbis. So he says it's not really straight out ribbis because it wasn't a predetermined amount. It's called a vak ribbis. It's related to ribbis. It's also in the Rabbanon. The fact that we profit is really an unknown. So it's called a vak ribbis. Generally, it's also when it comes to Yisoyim or Hegdish, they suspended the Isser and they allowed it. Continues the Gemara Moisa Peris. So Rishmol tells us, something called Moisa Peris, some extra funds, were used for what? To purchase Keitz HaMizbeach, extra oilos, which would be brought on the Mizbeach when the Mizbeach was idle. Masnis Rabbi Shmuel, apparently we're following Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that, yeah, Hegdish money was directed for commercial use to earn profit for Hegdish. The Rabbi Chibar Yosef Pasav Masnisa, Rabbi Chibar Yosef interpreted our Mishnah as follows. We have two terms used in our Mishnah, Moisar Peris and Moisar Nesachim. What do they mean? So he explained, Moisar Peris, Schar LeHegdish. That's the income earned, these profits earned by Hegdish. Moisar Nesachim, what is that? Zus O Revis. That's the fourth Sa'ah, measurement of flour. We'll learn later in the Masechta. The supplier would commit to supply Hegdish with all its needs. Suppose at the onset of the fiscal year, they determined the price to be 3 sa'ah of flour per sela. And Hegdash ordered a year's worth of supply. Then the price dropped. It was going for 4 sa'ah per sela. The halacha is the supply has to increase the amount that he's going to deliver. He has to follow the current going rate. But now we have extra flour delivered to Hegdash, because when they ordered their flour for the entire year's supply, they're working based on, they prorated based on the current rate of 3 per sela. But now that they're going to get 4 per sela, they're going to end up having 25% more than they needed. What happens with that extra flour, that fourth sa'ah of flour? That's called moisa nasachim. And what is it used for? So we discussed it yesterday. The Mishnah is actually a machlekes throughout the Mishnah regarding many different things. Some say you direct it for keitz hamizbeach. Some say you use it to purchase kli sharis. In any case, Rabbi Chibar Yosef learns moisa peiros means profits earned by hegdish. This is in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that they did use Hegdash money to engage in this commercial venture. Moisa Nusachim is speaking about the extra flour. Rabbi Yochanan Pasa Masnisa, he interpreted the Mishnah differently. Moisa Peiros Zusar Avias. That's referring to the fourth saw, the extra flour. Moisa Nusachim LeBeirutzim. The term Moisa Nusachim is speaking about the liquid excesses. Beirutzim means you have some spillover. You pour the wine into the klisharis, then it spills over, like by Abdullah. So that extra wine is really kaddish because it was already in the kli, then it came out. That's what the Mishnah means with moisa nesachim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, moisa peiros and moisa nesachim are both referring to leftover nesachim. One is referring to the flour portion, one is referring to the wine portion. Says the Gemara, V'lasle l'Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef l'Beirutzin. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, who omitted any reference of Beirutzin, this wine spillover. He doesn't hold it out. What are you going to do with that? On Rabbi Chizkiya, Mada Nafalas Aravis. The same halacha applied to the extra flour. Nafala Beirutzin applies to Beirutzin as well. Let's stop for a moment. So once again, we have two terms in the Mishnah. Moisa Peiros and Moisa Nesach. According to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Moisa Peiros is the profits earned by Hegdash as a result of that business venture. Moisa Nesachim is referring to either one of these two, extra flour or extra wine, which came out of the kli. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Moisa Peiros is referring to extra flour. Moisa Peiros, produce, dry material. Moisa Nesachim, thing that you pour, is referring to the extra wine, the Beirutzim. Says Maldaiti, the Rabbi Chibar Yosef Nicha. According to the first approach, Rabbi Chibar Yosef, Moisa Peiros means profits, the income earned by Hegdash as a result of that buying and selling. We understand the Mishnah now. Nicha, ein mistakir mishal Hegdash, af lo mishal anim. The other Tanoim say that, especially Rabbi Akiva, he says, no, you're not meant to do that. You're not meant to invest, earn profits with Hegdash money or tzedakah money. Lefichach, based on that, the Mishnah concludes, Zeh v'zeh lo yoyu moedim l'peiros. Neither Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Hanani Skana Kahana agreed with Rabbi Shmuel's concept of peiros. Peiros means income, profits. They didn't agree. According to them, it didn't exist. You didn't invest Hegdash money. So according to this, we understand the Mishnah. Moisa peiros discussed by Rabbi Shmuel is speaking about profits. But the other Tanaim disagreed completely. It didn't exist according to them. Why are you moedim peiros? So the Mishnah works. But alda teidu Rabbi Yochanan kashi. Kontra Rabbi Yochanan. Moisa peiros was what? It was the extra flour. Because according to him, the Mishnah here is not discussing what to do with profits. That's not the discussion of our Mishnah. Rather, Moisa peiros and Moisa nesachim both speaking about extra nesachim material. Moisa peiros, the flour. Moisa nesachim, the spilled over wine. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have a problem. What does the Mishnah mean? That the other Tanoim disagreed with Peiros. Rabbi Shmuel mentioned the concept of Moisa Peiros, which according to Rabbi Yochanan means the extra flour, and they disagreed. I mean, they disagreed. It's a universally accepted halacha that the extra flour belongs to Hegdash. Al dat is Rabbi Yechon Akashi. V'atanina, we learned in the Mishnah. Amdo megimel yisapek medalet. Suppose, initially, the supplier committed to giving 4 pounds of flour per seller, and then the price went up, and the going rate was only 3 seah per seller. He has to maintain his commitment, keep on giving 4 seah per seller. And likewise, in the reverse case, if he committed to giving 3 seah per seller, that was the going rate, and then price went down, the value of flour went down, and it's now going for 4 seah per seller, he has to increase 25% volume. So we have a Mishnah that Heglish will receive delivery of that extra material. So what does our Mishnah mean? They didn't agree about Paris. What do you mean? Paris is a given halacha. Says the Gemara, yeah, of course they agreed that Heglish will get that extra supply. They were simply disagreeing regarding one detail, the designation of the extra flour. Rabbi Shmuel said, Moisa Peres, the extra flour goes l'kaitz ha-mizbeach. He used it to purchase oilers. They disagreed. Perhaps they held that this extra flour was never really kaddish. It's just being added by the supplier. Therefore, they hold it's not meant to be used for karbonis. Lo yo moidim peres b'kaitz l'mizbeach. That's what they disagreed with. Aval moidim hoyu b'klishares. But certainly they agreed that the extra flour is kaddish and it's going to be converted into funds used to purchase the clay sharis in the Beis HaMikdash. So it has a lower level designation. That's the point of the Machlekes. Of course, there was Moisa Peres according to all Shittas. Because Moisa Peres according to Rabbi Yochanan means extra flour, which did exist, which was owed to Heglish and received by Heglish. The question simply is regarding its designation. Some hold it was used for Ketam Ezbech, and some hold to purchase clay sharis. Okay, so let's just summarize this segment of the Gemara. In our Mishnah, we discuss Maisa Nesachim. We have two ways to explain. According to Archei Bar Yosef, that was the first version of Gemara, Maisa Peres is discussing the income, the profits earned by Hegdash due to Rabbi Shmuel's business venture. Where does that money go to? Kaitzam Mizbeach. Moisa Nesachim is speaking about the leftover Nesachim, the extra flour, the Sa'aravias given by the supplier, the Beirutz and the wine spillovers. What do you do with these things? We discussed this yesterday. There are two sheets in the Mishnah. Some hold it's used for Kaitzam Mizbeach. Some hold to purchase clay shards. Rabbi Yechon's approach is Moisa Peres is not referring to profits. Rather, it's referring to that extra flour delivered to the Beis HaMikdash. According to Bishmol, it's used for Kaitzam Mizbeach. Whereas according to the other Shittas, no. It's used to purchase Klei Sharis because it doesn't really have the higher level of Kedusha. It was never really in a Klei Sharis. Therefore, it's relegated to a lower level of designation used to purchase Klei Sharis. And according to Rabbi Yechon, what does Moisa Nesachim mean? That's the liquid excesses, the wine spillover. What do you do with that? Once again, we have a discussion now. Mishnah. Some say meant to be used for Kaitzam Mizbeach because Nesachim is something which is completely burnt in the Mizbeach and it's appropriate to purchase with it oilis which are completely burnt in the Mizbeach. The other Shita holds? No, Nesachim are used to purchase clay shards. Continues the Gemara. Ad kedon beirut tzibur. So until this point we discuss the spillovers of the wine belonging to the tzibur. It's directed to be used for clay sharis. V'afilu b'ritza yachid. What about a yachid individual brings a carbon, has some leftover wine, spilled out of the clay sharis? What do you do with that? Is it also directed in the same direction, used to supply the clay sharis? Is that so? We have a problem with that. V'lo nimtzu clay sharis boi mishal yachid. That's the case. It will turn out that the clay sharis were purchased using private funds. It's not acceptable. You're not meant to use clay sharis, which are privately donated for the Karbanis Tzibur. Says the mother, that's not a concern because he'll give it over to the Tzibur wholeheartedly. Kadod the Tanina, as we learned in the Mishnah. Isha she'asa k'sanis lebna. The Kohen had a mother who sewed a a shirt for his sake, can he wear it during the avodah kshera? Yeah, he can wear it. Ubevashatim serena letzibra, as long as she gives it over completely to the tzibra. Here as well, he'll go give over the extra funds, the extra wine. Now it's tzibur owned, and they can use it to purchase klei sharis. Now, although yesterday we learned that according to the chacham, there's always a concern that it might not be given over wholeheartedly. But the Gemara yesterday also told us that only applies to kurbanis. I want to still hang on to the ownership here. Oh, it's my kurban brought on the mizbeach. But when it comes to machshir kurban, accessories such as firewood, bigdei kahuna, or klei sharis, there's no concern unless the shirt he'll give it over completely. It will belong to the tzibur. Ad kedoin birutelach. Until this point, we discussed liquid spillovers. Since they were in the kli and then spilled out, it has kedusha. Vafilu birutzi yavish. What about dry spillovers? So you pour in your flour, it's heaping, and then it spills over. What about that? Does it have the same designation as the liquid spillovers? Says more, absolutely not. Why? In contrast to the liquid spillovers, which were already in the kli and then came out, the dry material never entered the kli and has no kedusha zaguf. Kaidat tanina, as we learned, tamon over there. Hanesachim shekotche b'kli. If you have nesachim which were contained in a kli sharis and became kaddish, v'nim tzavach pasul and his carbon became pasul. What do you do to the nesachim? Im yesh sham zavach acher. If there's another carbon available, you can bring the nesachim with that carbon. V'im lav, there's no other carbon, lanu, have it stay overnight. Yufsul b'lina, will become pasul by staying overnight. So, in conclusion, we learned that the halacha applied to the extra wine spillovers, applied to the carbon yachad as well, but only to liquids and not to dry material. Now every year they had extra keteris. Why? Because they would prepare 365 mana. This was a weight equivalent. So 365 of these measures of keteris were prepared every year, plus three more mana, which was designated for the Kohen Gadol, who would scoop out with his palms to bring it to the Kodesh HaKadosh. But there was always some leftover. Why? Firstly, the lunar year has 354 days, and here they prepared 365 portions. Plus the Kohen Gadol, he wouldn't need that much. He would scoop out just a small amount, leaving the rest of the three designated for that purpose as shirayim, leftovers. So what would they do with the leftover keteris? Now keteris was a very precious commodity. It involved very specific ingredients and specific proportions. It took a lot of expertise to produce it. They wouldn't want to just get rid of it. They want to hold on to it. But the problem is, once the new year arrives, you can no longer use last year's supply. Because we learned back on that base, this year's karbanis must be funded using this year's funds. So what do you do with the leftover keteris? So Rashi will describe a whole procedure that they would apply in order to reboot the keteris and have it considered this year's supply, which case could be used for this year. Says the Mishnah, Moisar keteris meyo eisenba. What would do the extra keteris? Ma'afrishin memenos char ha'umnen. That's the first step. They would put aside enough keteris equal to the value of the wages owed to the repairman, to the craftsman doing some maintenance in the Beis HaMikdash. Suppose the woman came and did a job, fixed the wall, he owed him $100. So they would take some keteris worth $100, put it aside. That's step number one. They wouldn't give it to anybody, just put it aside. Step number two, umechalin oiso al schar mois omnen. Now, they also put aside some money from the Trumas HaLishka, whatever, by the Kabbais, which was meant for the workers. Now they would take the Keteris, which had Kedusha, and transfer that Kedusha. Mechal and Oysa, they would transfer the Kedusha from the Keteris onto the money. V'noysin Oysa l'unim ischar. Then they would temporarily hand over the Keteris, which was now free of Kedusha, no Kedusha on it, because the Kedusha was already removed, placed on the money. They would take that keteris, which was a non-Kodesh entity, was totally chulin, temporarily hand it over to the craftsman, bischarn, applied for their wages, and then immediately repurchase that Keteris from new funds. They would repurchase that Keteris from the workers that had nothing to do with it. They were more than happy to give it up. They would repurchase that Keteris using new funds, Truma Chadasha funds. So now, everybody's happy. Everybody received their dues. The Umnan walked away with money. The wall was fixed. Hegdish got back its Truma. From Truma Chadasha, got back its Keteris. From Truma Chadasha. So it belonged to this year's supply. Concludes the Mishnah. This is another halacha. What happened on the 30th day of Adar? What type of money was used to supply that day's carbon? If the new month of Nisan arrived in time, meaning the 30th day of Adar was really Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then began the new year, the new fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash. They would purchase Ikteris, all the components, using new money. But if Chodesh Nisan had not yet arrived on the 30th of Adar, actually it was a Chodesh Me'ubar, a leap month, in which case that day still belonged to the last year, but now Yeshana, they would purchase the Karbonis on that day using old funds. According to other Mefarshim on the Daf here, the Mishnah is simply telling us that if the Chodesh, the new funds, the new Shkolim arrived in time, then they would purchase the new Karbonis, the new Teres, using new funds. But otherwise, if there are no funds available, the Shkolim had not yet arrived, then b'diavad you can use even old funds to purchase next year's Karbonis, because this halacha of using new funds is only lechatch. Continues the Gemara. We described the whole procedure in order to refresh the Keteris, repurchase it from new funds. We're missing one stage. One step is missing. Why? You set aside the Keteris, which is Kaddish. You set aside some money, which are Kaddish. The Mishnah says, you take the Kedusha of the Keteris, you transfer it to the money. How can you do that? You can transfer Kedusha onto something which is Chayil, something which is existing in a vacuum, but something which is already Kaddish, that can't acquire more Kedusha. You can't make a double level of Kedusha, double decker Kedusha here. So how could you be Mechal the Kedusha from the Keteris on money which is already Kaddish? V'loi nimtza hegdish mischal hegdish? Isn't it turning out that he's taking Hegdash, the Keteris, and transferring it onto more Hegdash? He can't do that. So it's more, apparently we're missing a step here. Ketzad Oisis, how does he do it? Omer B'Shimon Bar Bisna. Maybe Mois U'mechalon al-Binin. Ah, this was a missing step. He takes some money of Hegdash, transfers the Kedusha of that money on the building, on the repairs, which were executed by those repairmen. So you have a fixed wall. Now, as the Mefarshim explained, the workers would bring their own raw material, use it to repair Hegdash. So now we have part of that wall which isn't really Hegdash. You can take money, which you owe the workers. They did a $100 job. You take $100 of Hegdash money. We don't want to give them Hegdash money, so we take that Kedusha of that money, transfer it on the binyan, on the raw material still in the wall. So now the binyan becomes Kaddish. It assumes Kedusha from that money. That money now is free. It's chulin money. It's free of any Kedusha. So this was a step missing in the Mishnah. You have to arrange that you have money which has no Kedusha. And that's how you do it. You take the Kedusha of the money and transport it to the wall. Now you can proceed. Umevi Keteris. You set aside some Keteris which has Kedusha. Last year's Keteris. Umechal alein, you convert it. You take the Kedusha of that Keteris, you transfer on that money, which is not Kaddish any longer. Now it works. You hand over the Keteris to the Umnan temporarily, and then of course you repurchase it using this year's funds. So that answers the kasha of how the procedure works. Now I have one more question remaining. This money had now acquired Kedusha from the Keteris. What do you do with that money? Oysan amoyz mayasaben. What do you do with it? Rabbi Omer. Omer ani, I maintain that you do it as follows. Yinosnu lebeis garmu, lebeis haftinas. These are the two families who were involved in preparing the karbonis. Beis garmu were lechem aponim specialists. Beis haftinas were the Keteris experts. Shoyu bikiyin bepitim haketeris. They were experts in producing the Keturis, Masa Lecha Panim, producing Lecha Panim. So they need to be paid for their efforts. And we learn elsewhere that the wages for these families were paid from the Terumas HaLishka. So very simple, take this money which is now Kaddish, Kaddish because it acquired Kedusha from Truma, from Keturis. Take this money, hand it over to these families to pay them for their efforts. Omar b'shmur b'av Yitzchak, that works, but v'hein provided sheyu chayoven lahen mois misha rishona, that they were owed money from last year, meaning you're trying to pay up last year's debts. You can use last year's money. So this money is really last year's money, which has the kedusha from last year's keturis. So that can be used to pay up last year's salary. But suppose last year's salaries were completely paid up. You cannot use that money, which is in effect part of last year's funds, to pay for this year's salary. Because just as the korbanos needed to be supplied on a yearly basis, this year's korbanos supplied by this year's truma, and so on and so forth, likewise the efforts of these families who are engaged in preparing the korbanos, they can only be paid from this year's funds. So of course, if they're owed back pay, you can use this money because this is last year's funds. But otherwise, you cannot pay them from last year's funds for this year's efforts. Oh, that takes us to the next Gemara. Reb Chiya bar Bo, that was his name. Boy, he asked the Shaila. What about Loy Hayu? Chayovan Lehen Mois Mishar Rishana. Suppose they paid up last year's debt. There's no money owing to them anymore. What do you do with this money now? Do you use it for Keitzah Mizbeach? Do you use it to purchase clay shards? What do you do? Also, Rabbi Ba, so the same person, Rabbi Ba, B'Shem Rabbi Chia. Also, Rabbi Ba, B'Shem Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Ba came and he said, name Rabbi Chia. And this Rabbi Chia is the same as Rabbi Chia Rabbi Ba mentioned earlier. And he said, in the name of B'Shem Rabbi Yossi, you know what you do with it? M'kaitzim b'nes ha-mizbeach. Use it for kaitzim ha-mizbeach, to purchase the oilers for the mizbeach. So he began with a question, and he responded with certainty. We know what to use for. Says the Gemara, how does this work? First he was uncertain, and then he was sure. Rabbi Bo bar Kohen boy, he asked, Kumi Rabbi Yossi, what's going on? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's opinion suddenly reversed itself. Taman over there, originally, initially, Tzrichale. He needed a response. He needed to find out the halacha. He didn't know this information. He asked it as a question. What do we do with this money when we don't have wages to pay? The Koyp Shitale? And then afterwards, he suddenly pashat him. He's suddenly certain about the halacha. So the Gemara responds, there's no kasha here. How did Tzrichale b'chle sharis? Initially, his suffix was, can we use this money to purchase klisharis? That was a shayla. Hadab shitalei b'kaitzam mizbeach. When he was certain, it was with respect to using it for kaitzam mizbeach, for korbanos. Yeah, that was pashut, that you could use it for. The question is, can it be also used for klisharis, which are really items of lower designations, lower kedusha? So here we have this money, which acquired Kedusha from the Keturis, which was meant for the Mizbeach. So on the one hand, this money now acquired a very high level of Kedusha, a carbon Kedusha, a Mizbeach Kedusha. Perhaps it could only be used, it could only be directed, it could only be earmarked for Mizbeach use to purchase Oilus V'Kaitz Mizbeach. That's one side of the coin. That's Pashat. It can't be used for that. That was Pshitale. But he had a suffix on top of that. Perhaps we can view it a bit differently. Look, this Keturis, although initially it was meant for Mizbeach, but we all know there's leftovers, which inevitably will not be used for the Mizbeach. So now we have excess Keturis. That's leftovers. Perhaps it does not have the same status as a true Mizbeach designee. And therefore, when this Kedusha of this Keturis gets transferred on this money, this money hasn't really acquired the highest level of Kedusha, and perhaps he can use it for Kli Sharis, which are meant to service the Karbanis. That was a Shaila. He wasn't sure. And the Gemara responds that it actually depends on a Machlekes. What does it depend on? how they would produce the keteris. Was it an ekli shoris? Was the mortar in which they would crush the keteris material, was it considered ekli shoris, in which case the content acquired a high level of kedusha, kedusha saguf, inherently kodesh? In which case, when that kedusha gets transferred on this money acquired a very high level of kedusha, like kedusha saguf, and can only be used for mizbech, for carbon on the mizbech, for kaita mizbech. But if we hold that the mortar in which they would crush the keteris was a klei chayil, was not a klei kodesh. Rather, it was a klei chayil, in which case the content was not really kodesh kodesh saguf. It was kodesh kodesh asdamim, monetarily kodesh, its value, but not inherently kodesh. In which case, now that you take this keteris, this leftover keteris, and you transfer its kedusha, its lower level kedusha, onto this money acquired a lower level kedusha, a downgraded kedusha, in which case perhaps it could be used, this money can be used to purchase klei sharis. So that's what it depends on. It depends on the level of kedusha which was contained within the keteris initially. So that's the conclusion. This palgam, because we really have a machlokes. Pitma b'chul. If he crushed, if he produced the keteris in a klei choil, is that okay? Rabbi Yisrael Bey, the son of Rabbi Chanin, Omar, he said, psula, no, it's no good. It needs to be in a klei sharis. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Omar Kshera. According to him, it's kosher. And based on these two opinions, we're going to have a conclusion regarding our question of how to properly use this money which acquired Kedusha, on which we transfer the Kedusha from the leftover Keteris. Let's stop for a moment and take stock. We discussed the leftover Keteris and the Mishnah with the first portion of the Gemara described the process as follows. What do you do with that leftover Keteris? You want to hold on to it, but you have to refresh its identity. It has to be purchased from this year's funds. So you do as follows. You go ahead and you designate some money to pay the workers. You take the kedusha of that money and you machal it on the building, on the renovations. Now this money is free from kedusha. Now you take keteris, that extra keteris, and you transfer the kedusha of that keteris on this money, which is free of any kedusha. You take the keteris, which is chulin, you hand it temporarily to the umnin as payment for their work. Immediately you turn around and you repurchase it from Tumah Chadasha. So everyone's happy. The building's fixed. Workers are paid. The keteris is back in Hegdish's possession, refreshed, ready to be used for this year. What do you do with this money, which now has kedusha, which acquired the kedusha of the keteris? Ideally, you would give it to the Beis Aptinas, the Beis Garmu, as payment for their services. If that wasn't practical, you can certainly use it for Kaitza Mizbeach. The question is, could you use it for Klei Sharis, which is a low-level designation? That depends. The Gemara concludes, it depends on how they would make the keteris. If the keteris was made in a Klei Choyl, in which case it never acquired a higher level of Kedusha, so now you transfer that Kedusha, that low-level Kedusha on this money as well can be used for Klei Sharis. Whereas if you hold that the Pitam takes place B'Kodesh, in a Klei Kodesh exclusively, in which case the Keteris acquired a higher level of Kedusha, Kedusha Saguf, now you transfer that Kedusha from the leftover Keteris onto this money is now held in very high esteem and cannot be used for Klei Sharis, which isn't really an actual carbon. The Gemara now will conclude with further discussion about this machlekes of how to do the keteris. We have two shittas. Rabbi Yosef Chanina maintained that you need to use a kli kodesh. Rabbi Shmuel Levi said even a kli chol. Ma tama Rabbi Yosef Chanina? What is the tam of the shita of Rabbi Yosef bei Rabbi Chanina? They need to use a kli kodesh. Kodesh, the pasuk says the keteris is kodesh. We learn that they have a yosef kodesh. It has to be produced by kedusha. Ma taima Rabbi Shmuel Levi, who says you don't need a kli kodesh. Kodesh he, yeah. Should the hay bomb at Tumas Alishka? It needs to be used, it needs to be purchased from Tumas Alishka. But as far as making it, you can make it in a Kli Chayil. In fact, the mortar in the Beis HaMikdash was not a Kli Kodesh. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Bei Rabbi Bun. He said as follows, Asya de Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina. Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina maintains that what? You need to use a Kli Kodesh for Keteris. His Shita is consistent with Kishmuel, who holds likewise that you needed to use a Kli Kodesh. Or the Rav Shimon Levi, his Shita that says a Kli Kodesh is satisfactory, he holds Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the Keteris wasn't necessarily Kodesh Kedusha Saguf when it was produced. This is Sanin, as we learned in the Mishnah. Hamaglish Nechosef, one committed his Nechosem to Haglish, to Bedek Abayis. Voyu ben Dvarim, ruin la carbon sibur. Amongst his items, we find things which were designated specifically for carbon sibur. Now, what can that be? An animal can be used for carbon yachad as well. What do we mean when we say something which is exclusively used for carbon sibur? Explains Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Keteris. This fellow had some Keteris in his possession. And he was magdish it. What's a person doing with keteris in his possession? Apparently, Rabbi Yechanan holds you can go and produce keteris in your kli. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yechanan holds that shit. On Rabbi Ishia, no, that isn't the only way to explain the Mishnah. What was the shaila? What's this person doing with keteris? If keteris is kodesh kedusha saguf produced in a kli kodesh, how could an individual? How could a private person have that? Tipater will answer as follows. Bu'uman Mishal Beis Aptinas. We're speaking about this fellow, this expert from the Beis Aptinas family, the Keteris specialist, who is owed some pay for his work. So he took some Keteris as a salary, as a temporary salary, and then the Gizbar, of course, turned around and repurchased that Keteris. So this is similar to what we mentioned earlier. Instead of speaking about a craftsman coming to maintain the walls, this Beis Aftinas fellow took the Keteris temporarily as pay and then returned it when it was repurchased by the Gizbar. In any case, that's how he happened to have some Keteris by him. Of course, the Keteris perhaps must be produced in a Kli Kodesh, and it was. It was done properly. But then it was given over, because it was an extra Keteris, it was given over to the Beis Aftinas fellow for his schar. And right then, he was magdashit, and that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. Continues the Gemara. Ud Rabbi Yisr bei Rabbi Chanina kishmo. Rabbi Yisr bei Chanina, who holds that you need to use a Kli Kodesh for Keteris, is in line with Shmuel's sheet. Dam Rav Huna, b'shem Shmuel, machteshes, this mortar, also Oysa, they treated it like Sharis lekadesh, like an ordinary Kli Sharis, which has the ability to make Kaddish its content, to make it into Kedushas Aguf. There are several halachis which are unique to things which have Kedushas Aguf. For instance, if it stays overnight, it's possible enough. If the Yom touches it, it becomes possible. So you see clearly that Shmuel holds that the Machteshes was a Kli Sharis, because the Keteris needed to be produced specifically in a Kli Kodesh. Continues the Gemara. We have one problem remaining. We just had a whole arrangement to explain the halacha regarding the money which acquired Kedusha from the Keteris. We had leftover Keteris, we transferred the Kedusha onto money. The question was, what to do with that money? We certainly could use it for Keitz HaMizbeach, for Karbanis. What about Kli Sharis? And the Gemara concluded, it depends. What does it depend on? How Kaddish the Keteris was. What level of Kedusha was applied to the Keteris? And that really depends how they made it. So if it was made in the Kli Kodesh, in which case it had Kedusha Taguf, subsequently when that Kedusha gets transferred onto the money, that money is considered Kodesh on a high level, can only be used for Karbanis. And this will fit with Shmuel, who holds that a Keteris needed to be done in a Kli Sharis. Says we're fine, but we still have one problem. Rav Huna, Kumi Rabbi Yosi. Sorry. Omar Rabbi Yosi Bei Rabbi Bun. He said like this. Omra Rabbi Chuna Kumi Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chuna asked in front of Rabbi Yosi. I still don't understand how this would work. Dover Shekodesh Bikli Sharis Nifta? You're taking Keteris, which according to this opinion, was Kodesh Bikli Sharis. It was produced in a Machteshes, which is a Kli Sharis. It has Kli Staguf. How in the world are you going to be paid to that? You're going to redeem it. How can you transfer Kedusha from a Keteris, which is Kedusha Saguf? You can't do that. Only something which has kedushas damim, monetary kedusha, kedusha for its value, yeah, that can be exchanged, redeemed, transferred, because it's only the value which is kedusha. But in this case, where the keturis is considered kedushas haguf, because it was produced in a machteshes of klisharis, it's inherently kedush. You can't transfer that kedusha. You can't remove it from the keturis. Amalei, he responded, v'loy d'shmuli. Now, aren't we referencing Shita Shmuel? He was the one that held that the keturis has kedushas haguf. Oh, according to Shmuel, there's no problem whatsoever. The Shmuel Amar, Kalu v'moisar. This is a leniency applied to leftovers. You know, Bezdin knows initially that there's going to be some leftovers. And the Gemara tells us, Leiv Bezdin, this is the Gemara Shavuos, Leiv Bezdin Masalein, the heart of Bezdin, meaning Bezdin preconditions it. They know it's going to be left over. And they apply leniences to it. L'chadchila, they already have that in mind. But although this terrorist is going to have Kedushas HaGuf in this Machteshes, but we know there's going to be some remainder, some leftover. And they initially are makadosh it with this condition, they can go be paid it. That's why in this case as well, the keturis can be redeemed. The ispalgun, as we find the machlokes in this regard, ha'isiru tmimim. Suppose at the end of the year you have unblemished animals. Farshim explained, based on the Gemara Shoshana, that at all times you need to have at least six lambs sitting in the lishkas atloim, the chamber of the tloim, awaiting the akrova of the korban tumid. The Gemara discusses the whole cheshbon because you had to inspect it 4 days in advance. So at any time there were six lambs sitting in the lishka. Now to come the last day of the year, you have six animals there. You take one for the tumid shel shachar, one for the tumid shel arbayim. You're left with four animals remaining with no purpose, with no designation. Ha'yisiru tmimim. What do you do with them? Shmuel amar niftim ketmimim. You just redeem them as is. As is. You take them. You mechalal the kedusha onto Moes Chulin, and the gizmo will turn around and repurchase these animals because he wants to go ahead and reuse them next year. Why not? They're tmimim. They're perfectly fine. So according to Shmuel, there's no concern with making pidyon. No concern at all. Even though we're speaking about tmimim, which generally is not meant to be redeemed. Generally, only a behemoth which has a baal mum, which is only kaddish l'damav, only monetarily kaddish, can have pidyon. But something which is a tamim can't. No, in this case you could, because we all knew it's going to be leftover animals. And this was part of the initial plan, the initial process, was that the kedusha should be pending upon further development. So just as Shmuel applies that rationale to the animals, the same thing applies to the keturis, which is left over, which pidyon can be applied to. Rabbi Yechon Amar, niftin kipsul ha-mikdash. No. He says, although leiv bezdin masnalim, no, we don't allow this to happen because it can create confusion. We don't want to be paid the tmimim, which is generally not allowed. We don't apply in this case either. Rather, you do p'diyah like psula magdash, like a bunch which came puzzle. You let them wander, let them roam around till they get a mum, in which case they get downgraded to kedushas damim, and then be paid it. Continues the Gemara with another example. Ha'isiru se'irim. Suppose there are some goats left over at the end of the year. Some goats which were meant for chatos. What do you do with them? Says one of the same thing. Al date de shmol koin de shmol shita im oila niftis lo koshken chatas. If he says that an oila can be redeemed in this manner, although think of it, even if you go ahead and take this leftover oila, right, those leftover tamimim, those lambs designated for the carbon tum of the oila, you would go ahead and let it get a mum, sell it off, and use the money to purchase oila isfiketa mizbeach, which is the other alternative. Even if you do that, the animal will still retain somewhat of its original designation. It was meant for an oila, it's going to end up being used for an oila. Still says Shmuel, no, I don't want to do that. I prefer using these very animals for their original designation, to be used as a tamid. Just go sell them off, rebuy them for next year's supply. If Shmuel applies this rationale, this case, where the alternative is almost just as good No, he says, rather than let it get a mum, sell it off and use the money for oilas keitzah mizbeach. So it's really oila, producing an oila. No, I don't want to do that. I want to retain these animals. I want to repurchase these very animals. Keep them without a mum. Sell them and rebuy them next year with next year's funds. Because why not? Keep them for their original designation. Be used as a talmid. If that's the case, im oila niftis. If he maintains that even an oila can be redeemed in this manner, lokoshken chatos, of course a chatos, such as these leftover goats, where the alternative is not as good, because if you let them roam and get a mum, you're going to sell them off, use the money for kaita mezbeach, which is an oila, a different designation altogether. You're going to divert a chatos into an oila. Certainly in that case, Shmuel would insist, don't do that. Rather, be paid to them as is, sell them and rebuy them for next day's use. So according to Shmuel, whether we're speaking about the leftover oila, leftover chatas, you just go ahead and sell them and rebuy them for next year. However, according to Rabbi Yechonah, who tells us that when it comes to the leftover oila, let it get a mum, and then sell it off, use the money for keitzah mizbeach. So what do we do here about the leftover chatas? Omer Rav Zira, Yiru. Here as well, you do the same thing. Let them roam, let them pasture until they get a mum, sell them off, and use the money for oil, even though you're diverting from chatas to oil. That's his opinion. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak mekaitzin bernes hamizbeach. He maintains that according to Rabbi Yechonon, whether it's a oil or a chatas, you don't necessarily have to have them roam around, get a mum, and sell them off, and use the money for kaitzin hamizbeach. If you choose, you can actually go ahead and use this leftover animal for kaitzin hamizbeach. That's also part of the precondition of bezin. When they're left over, you can use them for kaitzah mizbeach, even though you're really changing their designation. It was meant for carbon tamid, using it for nadava, oil kaitzah mizbeach. It was meant for a chatas, using it for oil kaitzah mizbeach. That's okay, and that's actually better than Shmuel's approach of redeeming them, tamimim, selling them, rebuying them, because that creates confusion, it could create pitfall, because that's not really a practice one is meant to engage with, to go ahead and sell tamimim karbanos. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yechonon, according to Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak's approach on Rabbi Yechonon, you can actually go ahead and use these karbanos for kaitzah mizbeach rather than be paid to them, redeem them in their tamim status. Whereas according to Zeira, he holds, no, that according to Rabbi Yechonon, you can't go ahead and use these animals for kaitzah mizbeach. How could you go redesignate an oila for a chatas? How could you redesignate a carbon tamid for a oilas nadava? No. You have to go ahead and have it get a mum, sell it, and use the money for kaitzah mizbeach. So, conclusion: we have leftover tamidim, animals which were meant for oila, oilas tamid, or you have seirim leftover from the chatas. According to Shmuel, in both cases, niftin tamidim. Just go sell them and repurchase them with the new funds of the new year, so that they retain the original designation that you use as a talmid or as a chatas. According to Rabbi Yechonon, we have two approaches. According to Zeira, in both cases, you let them wander, get a mum, and sell them off, and use the value, use the money for kaitzah mizbeach. According to Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak, if you wish, you can actually use them themselves for kaitzah mizbeach. Says the Gemara, v'kash, you have a problem with that. Yesh chatas shekreva oila? How could Rav Shmuel tell us that you take something which was designated for chatas and divert it for oil for kaitzah mizbeach? How could you redesignate the carbon? Amar Rabbi Yosef Shanya, here it's different. Shein karbonis tzibur nikbonis lo b'shchita. The animals designated for karbonis tzibur were never really nikva. They weren't really set. The status wasn't yet established until the actual shchita. They had a pending status. Amar Rabbi Chiya, t'nai beznu was actually a condition set forth by Bezin, ala moiser, for all the leftover animals, shikru v'oilois, to be brought as oilois keitzah mizbeach. So although this goat was originally designated for chatas, since it ended up being left over, initially, we say it was meant for this purpose, because its kedusha was merely pending, and now that it turned out that it was extra, certainly it can be directed for oilois keitzah mizbeach. Okay, time for a brief chazara. We began describing the kevish constructed for the paraduma with great fanfare to highlight the importance of securing the tahara of the paraduma, may one invest money of Hegdash Ra'anim, according to Rishmal, yes, according to Rekiva, provided it's a no-risk investment. We discussed the definition of Moisar Peris, Moisar Nesachim. We discussed the wine spillovers, which went for Klisharis. We had the leftover Keteris, which was arranged to be repurchased from this year's funds, so that it can be used this year as well. We discussed how they would make the Keteris and the Klikolish, Klichoyel, and what to do with the leftover Karbonis at the end of the year. Take care and be well.